This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. Hello and welcome to Beyond Performance, where we have candid conversations with high-performing people from all walks of life and distill actionable lessons we can take away to perform a little bit better every single day. I'm your host, Dana Bluen, and today we talk with David Henderson, the founder and CEO of fleet analytics company, Driver. We discuss his love for lean and agile methodologies that allow him to run a successful and effective startup in an ultra-competitive field. Here in the first part, we look at David's background in the financial industry and some failed projects that set him on the course to become an agile master. Let's get into it. David, thank you for taking the time to stop by the studio and talk to me. I really appreciate it. You are the CEO of Driver, Thailand-based telematics, fleet analytics platform, correct?
That's right. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Dana.
As always. But your background, before you started this company, you've actually had kind of a diverse background coming into Driver. And that background that you had really made you sort of a champion for agile, and you brought that to Driver, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So where did that happen in your background? Where did you get that sort of appreciation for agile, and was there like a certain event or kind of like a company that you were at that sort of fueled that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was working for a company called Hotel Connect in the UK, which was one of the kind of early booking engines, online travel agents.
Okay.
So they were competing with Expedia, Agoda, and they had a good shot at it, right?
This is back in like the aughts.
Yeah, that's right. So Golders Green, North London.
Yeah.
I was actually leading up their product team.
Mm-hmm.
And my responsibility was to, you know, lead the new booking engine development and make sure that was successfully implemented.
Mm.
So unfortunately for me, a lot of those decisions in terms of who to partner with and how to build it had already been made before I'd even got there. And some of those decisions were, you know, catastrophic for the company.
Mm.
So for example, they'd decided to go down this waterfall development method. They'd outsource development to a company in Sri Lanka. Mm. There was no that this is in the early days where, you know, you had Skype, but there wasn't much else. So it was hard to communicate with people. It's not like today where it's calls and video conferencing are cheap and easy, and you've got Zoom and, you know, lots of good tools.
And also, I mean, coming from a tech background and a startup background in the 90s, waterfall was really the methodology used for a very long time.
I'd been used to waterfall. I'd worked for National Australia Bank, and everything there was done waterfall. So I'd been one of those guys writing business requirements, handing over a 500-page document, going through the different stages and making sure that everything was signed off, and then going through just taking a few months off while it was developed, and then coming back and doing the testing phase of things. And I could see that was a really wasteful process.
Yeah.
Right? And it was disconnected. It wasn't a seamless process. And you didn't see the outcome until months or even years later in the case of the bank.
Very, very common, years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So going back to the UK and to Hotel Connect, I had been working there. I'd picked up this project and we outsourced it. And one of the problems there was that we'd spent 6 months writing the business requirements. The economic conditions and the business environment had changed, but between the start of writing those requirements and the end of writing those requirements, and then it was even another year went by before we got anything back from the outsourced development shop that was working with us. So 18 months had passed from when the original idea of what we were doing was conceived to when it was actually first implemented, when we got the kind of first draft or design or development back.
Yeah.
It didn't match what we wanted or what the business felt was needed at that time. So then we spent another 3 months going through this gap analysis process where we identified, so what's the gap between the business requirements that we asked for and what was delivered.
Yeah.
Right? So there was a lot of focus on process, on procedure and documentation, and not much focus on product. So, and I mean, I put my hand up. I was largely involved or responsible for a lot of that. And I've learned the lesson and the experience of that. That company has sadly since gone out of business. There were a great group of people working there. Yeah. But that was one of the key things that led to that collapsing.
And I think that was kind of a key time as well, where speed to market and speed to innovation was key, was really important, especially in that travel space, which is so tight. The margins are so small.
Yep, absolutely. When we started that project, for example, there were no comparison websites in existence at that time. By the end of that project, the market was dominated by comparison websites. Not dominated, but they were a major player.
Mm.
Comparison websites are a little bit less important now than they were back then. But
it was big back then.
Yep, absolutely.
So you didn't learn Agile there, but you kind of learned a lesson about, you know, speed to market and iteration, ideation, I guess.
Absolutely. I knew there was something wrong with what I was doing. I'd heard a little bit about Agile, and I was eager and keen to learn more. And the next role I did, which was working for a company called Collinson Group, which are the people who develop Priority Pass, they spun up an internal startup. I was one of the key sort of business guys in there. And we learned about Agile, and I just took to it like an Irishman takes a drink. Yeah.
So very naturally.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So what did you learn about Agile that really made you interested based on what you had experienced at the travel company, that failure with the waterfall methodology? Then you learned Agile here. What was it about it that really sparked with you?
Well, it was both the theory and the practice of it. It just seemed like I'd seen for myself that waiting months and months for things to be developed and not getting any visualization or any idea of what was going on was really damaging. And we ended up wasting a lot of time and then getting a product back, which wasn't what we wanted. The Agile way of doing things would have meant that we'd actually got a product back literally within weeks, or at least a prototype back. And then we'd be able to validate some of those assumptions we'd had in the market almost immediately. Anyone who's not doing Agile or not doing Lean right now is dead.
Yeah. You're not doing anything, basically.
Yeah.
So you learned it at this job, and then how did you end up taking it? And I know you dove into it, you learned a lot more, and you took it to Intellimatics Australia. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So Intellimatics Australia was a few years later, and that was the last company I worked at, they were a telematics company. Telematics is the science of basically collecting data from vehicles, analyzing that data for purposes like insurance, in-car entertainment and
optimization.
So on. Exactly, yeah. So Intellimatics was having a big problem with delivering product, right? They were they got into a bit of a rut where they've been working with these car makers delivering kind of traffic products for in-dash navigation systems.
Yeah.
So at Intellimatics, I built the very first. I came there, and actually the whole place was a mess. Like the development team was like, I sat down, I interviewed each person in the development team, and half of the people broke down in tears, right? They were working 7 days a week. They had no idea what it was they were doing or why they were doing this. It wasn't clear to them who the end customer was or what the product was doing. And they just had, morale was right through the floor. They had something they called Agile there, but it was a travesty. Like the stand-ups there were kind of like some sort of religious cult or some sort of Maoist, you know, whip yourself in the back type thing. You know, and people were just like, why haven't you done this?
A lot of finger pointing, a lot of blaming.
Exactly. And it was just, you know, a poisonous atmosphere.
So you came in and you championed what you understood to be Agile as a sort of a change.
Yeah, absolutely. And that wasn't an easy process, right? So what I did was I basically banned all overtime immediately, which saved the company a significant cost. I made sure that we actually created a backlog, that backlog was understood, that people knew what it was that we're building towards, right? Yeah. So I set up some time to some product planning sessions, and I got the team to buy into this, right? Yeah. So I made sure that the team was actually saying, this is what the bandwidth is, this is what how long it's going to take to do that, and I listened.
Right? You're using empathy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so how long were you in telematics for?
I was there for almost 3 years.
3 years. You rolled out Agile across the entire company, essentially, or at least on the product side.
By and large, yeah. I mean, the intention was that the CEO, at that time I was the general manager who was reporting to the CEO. Mm. So I was responsible for the telematics division. Mm. There was another division called traffic, and then there was a separate product division, and it was a mess completely.
Yeah.
But I did try and roll it out across the whole company. There was a lot of tribalism, and it kind of ended up just being in a couple of areas.
And
like,
so
it was really implemented.
That tribalism, like what you talked about, and there were some tensions we were talking before the show, but that sort of led to you seeing an opportunity, exiting from Intelematics, mm-hmm. moving to Asia and starting Driver.
Exactly, yes.
And that's where you really were able to sort of bring this idea of Agile in your purest vision to life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. And David, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to dive in with you about that Agile implementation, because some of the things you do with your teams and your development really are that high performance that we're looking for. So we'll be right back after this. Coming up after the break, we dive into David's applications of Lean and Agile that have allowed him to build a high-performing team and find success in the competitive telematics landscape. You're listening to 89.9, The Business Station.
Boyish 40-something millionaires, BFM 89.9.
David, welcome back. We talked in the first half about your background, sort of how you were introduced to Agile and the incidents that sort of made you see that waterfall development and this type of business isn't the way to go. So talk to me now, though, about Driver. Talk to me about how you've implemented Agile there and sort of that lean mindset that you're running at your company.
It's actually much easier to do lean and to do agile at a small startup where you have no resources, very little money, than it is at, say, somewhere like National Australia Bank. Or,
and we should say that you bootstrap Driver, so it's your cash on the line there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And doing development is a costly process, right? So you don't want to develop something unless you absolutely have to.
Mm.
So absolutely using lean, using fast prototyping, using wireframes, using clickable prototypes is a great way to shortcut the process of development, to validate ideas, to using things like landing pages, for example.
Yeah.
Actually validating the product before you've even sold it. We actually sold our first product here in Southeast Asia before we even had a product.
Really?
You know, we actually sold our product to the customer.
MVP'd it.
We MVP'd it, absolutely. And look, for me, one of the most insightful books of the last 20 years has been Eric Ries's Lean Startup.
Yeah, great book.
It's a fantastic book. And I'd recommend that to anyone who's interested in learning more about how this works and how to use a scientific method to validate business.
I would say that book's probably one of the few books that's aged well in the startup space.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah. I know that you're a big fan of that. But at Driver, you actually also run Agile as sort of the whole management methodology, because you have a small, diverse team, right? Your team's all over mm-hmm. the world.
Yep.
But you still implement the key aspects of Agile that you think make the inclusion better, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So can you walk us through that?
So, you know, you want to be able to make – we have a policy in the company that the person closest to the decision should make that decision. So we're not a very top-down bureaucratic sort of company. What we try and do is push decision-making to the closest person to that decision.
Okay.
So that's part of kind of moving quickly, lean, agile methodology. You don't have to be in development or, to use lean and agile. We the way the company works in terms of task management, knowing what we do, what to do next,
yeah.
is using a lean and agile board. We use Trello for doing that.
Okay.
So that there's a
it's a digital tool, right?
Yeah, it's a digital tool for basically managing tasks.
Agile to-do, doing, done board.
Exactly. So ours starts with done. So when you look at it, you can see from left to right, the first thing you look at is what have you actually done?
So you switched it.
We did. We switched it the other way around for a psychological reason, so that you can actually look at that board and you could say, hey, look, this, and every card has your picture on it. So you, like, if you're doing that card, if you've done that card, it's your face you're looking at. So okay. You can see the customer's logo inside. If it's a customer delivery project, you'll see the customer's logo inside there.
Yeah.
And then you'll see your face on it and you'll see done. And that's the first thing you look at. You're not going to see a long backlog of tasks that you go, oh, shit, this is what I've got to do next. And it's a never-ending thing. Instead, you look at it, you go, hey, that's what I've done. I've done that, right?
Wow. So that makes a lot of sense. So you're looking at, you're getting motivated just by looking at the board to see what's already been accomplished.
Absolutely. And you'd be surprised, but it does work. People do get motivated by that. And people want to be able to move those tasks over.
Yeah.
As we talked about a little bit earlier, these electronic tools, they just don't have the same feeling of moving a ticket, like a post-it note
that feedback loop that you get from it, that tactile sort of feel.
You know, but it's still, you know, the experience is still there, and it's we can't have boards in every single office and every location. We have a team distributed around the world.
Now, I know that with me, when I've worked in an agile environment, I always get motivated by trying to beat everyone else on duns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right. So yeah. For me, I would see that first and be like, okay, I've got to either catch up or I got to increase my lead.
Absolutely. And, you know, the it encourages spirit of both competition but also collaboration, because what happens with your tickets is like there's dependencies. Like yeah. you're not an island. When you're doing software development or anything in a startup, you're actually always going to be working with other people.
Always. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there are dependencies. Like you can't get too far ahead, because a lot of times you've got to wait for someone to finish something, or you've got to do something else for someone first. Mm-hmm. Software is very much like a puzzle, right? The pieces have to fall into place.
Absolutely.
But running a business, a startup, a small startup is also like a puzzle, mm-hmm. right? You've got to put the right pieces in the right places. And I think you talked about that a little bit when you said the person closest to the decision should make the decision.
Yep, absolutely. And look, in that's like, obviously I'm going to generalize here grossly, but that's something I'm quite, you know me, I'm used to doing that. But look, in many Asian cultures, there is a very hierarchical structure in place. Yep. So I'm yet to see many companies in Thailand, for example, local companies where there's encouragement of people to make decisions at the grassroots level. It's a very top-down approach to management. And there's also – and partially – I don't know whether we're talking about a chicken and egg scenario. Like there's a perception that if you give the more junior people in the company responsibility that they won't do it and they won't do anything, they'll just slack off.
Mm.
That's – from my experience, that's actually not the case for many people, right? Some people that may be true. But people who you want to be working for your business are the people who feel empowered. And they are the leaders of tomorrow. Those kind of people who you give them responsibility for something, they take ownership of it. They take responsibility and they do it. Right?
You talked about like the hierarchical structure and sort of the inability or the no want to give decision making to junior employees. And I've seen over the past couple of years, and I'm sure you've seen some of this as well, where there's sort of this idea of creating these fake. I don't think people go into it thinking they're going to create a fake culture, but creating fake cultures within the company where you tell someone you have power, you have authority, you can make this decision.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then when it comes down to it, there's one person, one boss of the company that yes or no, mm-hmm, that they make that decision. And I've seen this in the US, I've seen this in Asia. You know, it's kind of it was a trend at one point to sort mm-hmm. of companies to say, oh, this is our culture. We're doing this like a startup. When you're anything but lean, you're anything but agile, you're anything mm-hmm. but a startup.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't worked in the corporate world for some time personally, for about 7-8 years, thank God. But
yeah.
I do work with corporates and large companies all the time, right? And I have seen that. Like what we find often is that the people who really want to work with us on the corporate side tend to be those younger employees. They tend to be the more ambitious, the more agile, sort of the best employees in the company. And the worst employees in the company are their bosses. Mm. Not the senior management of the company often can be quite good, but Thailand's full of a layer of just useless middle management bureaucrats who do nothing, right?
Yeah, I think it's like that everywhere. I mean, America's like that, Australia, England. I mean, you get a big enough company and that sort of has become de facto structure for that company.
That's true. But I think the difference in like, say, the US or Australia is that, like, often, like, there's been a big attempt to reduce that layer of bureaucracy, that middle management sort of layer. And, you know, I think, you know, people don't tend to, like, stay at a company for life in those countries.
Yeah,
like
very true.
In Thailand, like, it's really an anathema to fire someone, and they'll be promoted up to the next level and, you know.
But you think about from that agile perspective, when you look at those companies, they could really benefit from this sort of, from a real true buy-in to agile. Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier and you said one of the key things was to make sure that your team bought in to agile. And I'm assuming it's the same thing with Driver, that you buy-in was your first priority.
Absolutely. And look, there's a bit of an education, a bit of a learning curve, but once you understand the methodology, the theory, and why it's being done, it's actually just a natural way of working, right? So it isn't natural to, like, do everything in, like, stages and to do a lot of planning up front and then go off and hand it over to some other person and have a kind of non-linear sort of process, right? Yeah. It's much better and much more logical to actually break tasks down to small pieces, and the power of small batches is actually crucially important. That's one of the things you learn from Lean, right? And that's one of the things that made Toyota really successful many years ago, was that they were able to adjust and adapt their production very quickly. Part of that reason was because of scarcity, right? So Toyota and the Japanese car makers didn't have the resources of GM. They didn't have the resources of Ford. Or even Fiat, for example. Those companies were agile, they were lean, they were able to change and do things. That's not the case anymore, by and large, right?
So you look at agile, and like you said, I want to go back to the power of the small batches, right? Because when you talked about doing things in a linear process, in your earlier experience where you wrote a business document for 6 months, you handed it off, you handed the requirements off to the contractor, and a year later you got something.
Yeah.
And by the time that year came around, you're 18 months into the project now. So I imagine you have a disconnect with the final product.
Absolutely. And look, the circumstances of the business environment there had changed. This was at the early, like reasonably early stages of the travel tech boom back in the early 2000s.
Post.com.
Exactly. And you had companies like Expedia, Agoda. Mm. There was a lot of, you know, aggressive, fast-moving startups, and the industry was changing quite quickly. Right. Mm. Obviously, the pace of change is now much faster and acceleration is even quicker. So nobody can do like a 2-3 year project anymore, right?
But I mean, that disconnect, I would imagine that the small batches help with that. Absolutely. Right? That you see your final product come in a week or two.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is that it gives confidence to the end customer, it gives validation. And you get a sense, you understand where the product's going from day one. And we're working with a large Japanese company called Topan Printing. Mm-hmm. It's like the world's leading security printing company. Like many people around the world's passports and the money they use every day is printed by Topan.
I don't know, some guy down the street made mine. No, so I mean, so do they use Agile? Do they use Lean at there?
Well, look, we're very fortunate in that we have the company has an awesome kind of management team here in Thailand who are willing to give, you know, sort of Agile a go. Their company ethos is based on waterfall and based on very much a kind of product planning sort of traditional approach that you go out, you basically follow what's happening in the market. So you go out and you get a purchase order from a customer. You then go through a planning process. You then build the product and then you deliver it to the customer 18 months later. And that's one of the reasons why the Japanese economy is smaller now than it was 20 years ago. Mm. So the slow pace of innovation is strangled by bureaucracy, by, you know, a lot of top-heavy management. And I'm not here to criticizing Topan their approach is actually, they've given us a chance and they've actually worked with us in an agile way over the last 3 months. And what we've seen is for a very small amount of money, we've co-developed a product which now has a number of customers already very interested in using it. And we built a prototype and we've already started taking that and selling that into the market. The traditional approach involved investing millions of dollars, then trying to validate the product, right?
So for someone hearing this who's maybe in a big company or who's somewhere where there is a lot of this sort of top-down, hierarchical, waterfall, big multi-year projects, they want to implement Agile, they want to implement Lean, or they want to just take one thing away from what you're saying. What would it be, David?
I would say that the key thing to do is talk to customers, get validation of products. Agile is not difficult to do, but it involves some cultural change. So it's not easy to implement Agile in an existing company that's been doing things certain ways for many years. The best way to do it is to create a small team of people who potentially could even volunteer their own time to do this, and then solve a small problem that either the customer or the business itself has. So you could do that like amongst a group of like-minded colleagues at work.
A cross-functional team.
Cross-functional team, and then solve a small problem. There's a awesome tech company from Australia called Atlassian.
Okay.
They developed a product called Jira, which is one of the really good tools for Agile. Now, what they do is that every year they give their staff 3 days off to go and develop develop products to try and solve problems that the company has. Now, that's probably going to be something that's going to be quite difficult if you're working in a family business in Malaysia or Thailand, for example, or you're working at like a large conglomerate in Thailand. That's quite difficult to get that over the line. But me personally, my very first experience of kind of real leadership was at National Australia Bank in Australia, where I actually developed the bank's processes and a system for actually managing credit cards and internet banking on a single interaction. So previously the bank had this kind of handover. You rang up the bank about your credit card. They would say, okay, you have to ring this other number. And then they would, they just hang up and then you'd ring that other number. So what I said was, okay, well, we'll take your details down. We'll pass it over to the credit card team. They can manage that. And I created that process with someone from the cards team. So the two of us actually thought, this is a crazy, stupid process. Let's fix it. Let's do something about it. So we spent literally an hour each week creating that new process. We developed it in-house. It was lean, that was agile, that was something we did rapidly, quickly, and we both got a promotion out of it and we got some awesome experience. Customer experience was good
too. Is that something anyone could try to implement anywhere they are?
Absolutely. Find a small problem, work together with a bunch of people to solve it as quickly and cheaply as possible. You don't even need any money to do this.
Fantastic. All right, David, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks again, Nick.
You've been listening to Beyond Performance on BFM. In this episode, we were speaking with David Henderson, the founder and CEO of fleet analytics company Driver, about his application of Agile and Lean methodologies, how it helped him build and manage a high-performance team so he could succeed in an ultra-competitive telematics landscape. If you missed any of this conversation, you can find it on our website, bfm.my, our BFM app, and of course, on Spotify. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.